We'll move on to Senate Bill 203, an act to clarify the responsibilities of foster parents in regard to foster children. And I do apologize to those of you who come here at the top of the calendar and you've gotten to the bottom of the calendar, but I do appreciate your patience. Senator Boak.
If I could from here, I will. You've already heard most of the pitch on this bill. It is truly just, as I said earlier, to remove any small hurdle whatsoever from someone's mind in their decision whether to become a foster parent in those situations where the juveniles are coming out of the correction system. I think that was a wonderful step that our corrections folks have done to try and create that program, and there's been a wonderful, amazing example of how this works. Just a thriving individual in my district that has just blossomed in the care of foster parents after coming out of Custer, I believe, and has been an asset to his high school and to his town, and we're just thrilled with the program. But to help maybe ease someone's mind on this whole process, this bill was done to remove that last hurdle. However, with that, Mr. Chairman, I do have an amendment which I've handed out. And following with the previous change, though, I would ask you on the first line to change word taxed to charged, so that we have that same conformance all the way through. Otherwise, I would, maybe a sponsor, it might be inappropriate for me to move the amendment to the bill. And then I know there are others that are here that would like to justify that.
Page 1, line 7, after motor vehicle. So this applies only to the motor vehicle situation.
No, Mr. Chairman.
No.
They're still liable in the motor vehicles if they negligently entrust a motor vehicle to a child. Other fees and costs or liabilities are exempted.
I see. Okay. Is there discussion? Senator Moore.
I think Senator Boak knows where I'm going to come from now on the next question. Would you be willing to insert or guardian after parent as well?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Boak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the extent that the state is already the guardian, I don't think you necessarily want to exempt all guardians. I understand that you're have a valid point in certain situations, but under the scenario you laid out, you already had a liability that was existing prior to that child entering the correction system. Loss of your brother's life and you become guardian of his children, for example. I'm not sure that I would be comfortable necessarily, because this is fairly targeted just to the foster parent situation in the correctional system. I would be happy to discuss that issue at another time, but I would hate to muddy up necessarily this particular bill trying to broaden it out to guardians of any nature, because essentially in the situation, for example, if my brother were to pass, he and his wife were to pass away, their two girls may become my children essentially because of a guardianship arrangement, and I don't necessarily think in that condition that I should be exempted as that guardian from liability, because essentially at that point I have become their parent, not because I've adopted them necessarily, but because of a court-ordered guardianship arrangement, which may have been nominated in a will or may not have been nominated in a will. But you're coming in with a very broad group of folks in the guardianship arrangement that I'm not sure all of which you want to put in there.
Senator Moore.
Well, I can appreciate what Senator Boak's saying, but I also think that we have to realize that, yes, foster parents are indeed an asset to us in South Dakota, and that they do provide parenting, and it is voluntary. But on the other hand, sometimes custodialship or guardianship is voluntary as well, and therein lies the similarities that we have in this particular issue, and that I think justifies the putting of the guardian in this bill as well.
Is there further discussion? for the testimony. Are there for the proponents of Senate Bill 203? For the proponents.
Mr. Chairman, Neil Fulton. I'm a lawyer here in town with the law firm of Madam Gertison Thompson. I'm here to speak on behalf of the bill, on behalf of the governor's office today. I want to thank Senator Bogue for carrying this bill and proposing the amendment. I guess I would start by pointing out that this bill is not a substantial change in the law. Primarily, it does two things. It codifies existing common law, which provides that each of us under statute is responsible for our individual acts of negligence and not for the acts of someone else. By common law and court decision, you can be responsible for someone else if they are acting as your agent, and that's been preserved in the bill. If a foster parent sends their foster child out to do their bidding, they remain responsible for what that foster child might do that is inappropriate. Additionally, if you negligently entrust someone with a vehicle, if in my capacity as a lawyer, Madam Gerson Thompson sends me out to drive, not checking to see that I have 15 DUIs and 30 speeding tickets, they can be held responsible. That is again preserved. Essentially, this puts foster parents on exactly the same footing as natural parents. If you look at SDCL 25.5.14, that provides that no parent is responsible for the acts of their child. This bill would essentially codify that for foster parents and give them a degree of comfort. The amendment that Senator Bogue puts in obviously avoids a situation where you take away in one bill what you've done in a previous bill. And that leads me, if I can, real briefly, I'd like to address what Senator Moore has pointed out. The one crucial difference to remember between guardians and foster parents is that in a foster parent situation, foster parents, whether they be acting on behalf of the Department of Corrections, the Department of Social Services, are paid day-to-day custodians of children and not the legal guardians. The state remains the legal guardian in both of those situations. I think that's why the amendment is appropriate, because it is somewhat unfair to treat foster parents as having a legal obligation in those situations when they're not, in fact, the legal guardian, which is different from a true guardian or custodialship. Lastly, I would point out that there is a huge need for additional foster parents in the state. If you've had your radio on in the last few weeks, I'm sure you've heard advertisements for foster parents in the state of South Dakota. I got a couple of numbers today from Corey Nelson, Virginia Weisler. 16 homes in Department of Corrections, 8 more are coming, and 6 more are considering it but are hung up to a degree on whether they want to do it or not. We hope this bill would encourage those people to do it. Slightly more spectacular is Department of Social Services. 568 foster families in the state of South Dakota, 1,000-plus kids. There is a tremendous need for foster parents. They do a tremendous service to the state of South Dakota, and we think this bill will facilitate that, and we'd ask that you pass it. I'd be happy to field any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? The witness, any questions? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 203?
Good morning. My name is Virginia Weisler, and I'm the Administrator for Child Protection Services here in South Dakota. And as Neil said, we have 568 current foster parents licensed in the state. We have a number who are currently going through training. There also is a large number out there that we don't know, because what recruitment information tells us is that it takes a family about a year in order to make a decision about whether or not they want to follow through with foster care. They're trying to decide about the age, the sex of the child that might fit best within their home, the types of behaviors that they can deal with, the emotional issues they can deal with, medical issues, deciding in our case how they might want to interact with the birth parent of the child who's been removed, looking at the reimbursement issues for foster care, separation attachment, especially with small children who come into our care, and liability issues. In the last 6-7 months, I can think of a couple instances. We had a foster child who was riding around with his high school buddy in his fairly brand new pickup, the friend's pickup. When the friend got out at the convenience store to go get a pop, our foster child jumped in the driver's seat, took off with the pickup, and wrecked it to a tune of about $2,000. That scared the foster family a lot, and we have covered those costs. We had another foster child visiting a friend who broke a $300 Terry Redland plate. You know, how is that going to be paid? We again paid that. We had another foster child who broke his little friend's jaw, a lot of medical costs. You know, so these aren't just correction kids. These are our kids. So those cause concerns to foster parents. So I support this bill, and if it passes, I think it will relieve the minds of our current foster families and those families who are sitting out there right now wondering about whether or not they want to do foster care. Maybe that's the push that will bring them into foster care. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the witness? Thank you very much. Any further proponents of House Bill 203?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll keep my comments brief so we don't rehash any of this. This bill really did come out of recruitment efforts for Department of Corrections foster parents. Department of Corrections generally has the older end foster parents within the state as compared to the younger end, and along with that goes the increased liability that those foster parents were really feeling. We have had foster parents that have had some kids with some really troubled pasts in their homes, and no matter what they do, they cannot control the actions of those individuals. We've had some of the kids steal a parent's car and total the car with some other kids in there, and it really does open them up to some real serious liabilities there through no fault of their own. And we just want to make sure that we can continue to utilize a very valuable resource to the kids and the people of South Dakota without putting them at extensive risk of losing everything they've done for their own families throughout their life. So,
thank you, Corey. Any questions? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 203? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 203? If not, we'll close to testimony to committee discussion or motion. Do I have a motion? Oh, we have not. No. We need a motion regarding the amendment. The amendment. And the amendment has amended. Okay. The amendment has been moved and seconded. Discussion regarding the amendment. If not, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is passed. We have a motion regarding the bill as amended.
Chairman.
Senator Hick.
I move to pass.
Move to pass by Senator Hick. Seconded by Hinging. Discussion.
Just that I'm really glad that it didn't break Terry Redland's jaw. That would have been a lot more expensive, I think.
Yes. We'll proceed to vote. Secretary Coyle. Senate Bill 203 goes out with a due pass recommendation, as amended. That concludes our calendar.